rapidly descended into this huge change. And I've been around for a while. I guess that some of you guys have been here longer than I have on this earth, but I've been here for a long time. And I got to tell you, I've seen some things that I never thought I would see. One of them is I never thought I would see the whole world go on sabbatical. Or using the Bible language, the whole world experience a Sabbath. And yet that has been the case, has it not? For us, it has been different in different ways. My wife is a teacher at a middle school, and so seeing the shift that she and others had to make for their teaching was remarkable. My son is, our youngest child is in high school, and he has flourished during this time because he has found that rather than having to spend 8 or 9 hours in classes at Robert E. Lee, he could get his work basically done in an hour and a half. Now, don't get him wrong. He loved Robert E. Lee in terms of friends and social activities. It was just the 8 hours of actually having to sit in classes that he couldn't stand. So this is unleashed him. And I got to give him credit. He hadn't spent his spare time playing video games. He's been very constructive with that. So for him, that's been good. For our family, I think that's been good. It's plugged into our schedules, time to do things like play games, where before we might have felt guilty. We didn't have to feel guilty. We had plenty of time to expand into. And it's interesting to know how many families have experienced the same thing. I guess I knew the world was in a different place when I saw on YouTube one of our late night talk show hosts, who I found out actually knows a lot of Scripture and is devoted to Scripture. And he had a rap singer that he was interviewing by Zoom on there, and the rap singer's name was Chance the Rapper. Actually, do they call rap singers singers, or they just call them rappers? I'm not sure about that. Rap's not my thing, but come to find out, Chance the Rapper comes from a faith family and a Bible family, and they start talking about Scriptures on the Sabbath. I never thought I would hear late night talk shows talking about the Sabbath. This is a time of Sabbath. And it has been. But there have been challenges, obviously, in that as well. Maybe you know someone who's gotten the coronavirus. My wife's first cousin and his wife were in New York City back in early March and flew home to Waco, and they were both diagnosed with the virus. He was on a respirator for a while. Now they've come out of that, but it was touch and go. It was very, very serious. My cousin, who's like an aunt to me, she's almost 90. I got a call yesterday from her daughter. My cousin, my aunt, fell and broke her hip. She lives in Atlanta, and they did surgery, and now she is in quarantine at 89 years of age. For 2 weeks, just in case. So, there has been a remarkable time of Sabbath, sabbatical, quarantine, no public worship services. A lot of, as you know, a lot of jobs have ceased. A lot of workplaces have shut down. And I suspect because of all of these things, we are probably entering into a period of what I would call chaos economically. I hope it's just a bad recession. It may be even worse. But I think it's safe to prepare ourselves for that. And if it doesn't happen, great. We were ready, but it didn't happen. But Sabbath chaos. Now, what I have found is we human beings need stories to explain to us what we're experiencing. We crave for that. And part of that is there is a part of our body that is at work, whether we tell it to or not. And I'll give you an example. going all the way back to the beginning, if we see a bear starting to run for us, we start running and our body immediately moves everything, and we don't have to stop and analyze if the bear is going to attack us at this point or what his motivation is. There's something in our brain that makes us act, right? And it's a big part of our brain. As a matter of fact, it's bigger than the part that makes us think. But it tells us to do things whether we want to or not. I have a living will. You know why? Because if something happens to me and I go into, for example, some kind of deep coma, and there is no hope from the medical community for my existence, then I want my family members to be able to say, you know what, shut the machines down, and we're just going to put him into the hands of God. Because I've got a brain that's working, and my brain will be trying to make my body stay alive no matter what, unless somebody says, shut down the machines, put him into the hands of God. But our brain that makes us wake up in the middle of the night sweating, have you ever done that? You know what I'm talking about? You don't know why, but there's something in your brain acting. Our brain demands stories. It demands explanations. And unless we give our brain those stories and those explanations, we can go in directions we should not be going in. It's one of the reasons why this book is so important. Because it gives us stories to explain what we are experiencing. And hopefully with those stories, we can make some better decisions. Because if our brain's been telling us lately that we are facing crisis, absolutely, and our brains will continue to do so. And so we have to feed our brains good stories to help us make good decisions, to help us not be anxious, to help us not panic, to help us do the right thing. So there is a story in Genesis 1 and 2 that explains how God works in this world and explains, I think, what's going on right now. Have you already turned there? So we talked a little bit about what's going on with you, and of course I've told you a little bit about what's going on with me. Let's see what's going on with God here. How many of you ever heard the story of the creation? You're pretty familiar with it, right? Matter of fact, I'm sure I don't have to read the whole thing. But let's look at the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and he called the darkness night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, let there be expanse between the waters to separate the water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. And God called the expanse sky. And there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the ground appear. And it was so, and God called the dry ground land, and gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land, and bear fruit with seed in it, according to the various kinds. And it was so. And the land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it, according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And it goes on from there, right? Day four, day five. Now, we call this story the creation, right? The story of the creation. What's God doing here? He is creating. God is at work creating the universe, creating the world. Now, Let me take you, let's put you in day three. And you don't know what's to come. You're just watching what's going on. Would there be pandemonium from your perspective? Would it look chaotic? All this thing about water being separated from water and the lights and vegetation. From our perspective, it would be chaos, right? But would God know what He's doing? Absolutely. Absolutely. God would be in charge of the creation. God would be knowing exactly what He is doing. We humans with our finite minds wouldn't understand. We wouldn't be able to get it. But God would know where He is headed with all this. And then you get to the end of the chapter. Look at verse 27. And so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them. And He said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. And they'll be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw that all He made was very good. And there was morning and there was evening, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were complete in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work He had been doing. And so on the seventh day, He what? He rested. Sabbath. Work and Sabbath. Creative activity and rest. Folks, here's a story I want you to take with you today. That's been God's pattern ever since. God works creatively in this world, and then in a sense, from our perspective, He rests. And He works, and He rests. And that is a godly rhythm. Now, our problem is, again, when He's at work, a lot of times from our perspective, it just seems chaotic. But we just have to trust in Him and be faithful. But I'm telling you, over and over and over again, you see this pattern. Let me take you another one. Exodus 14. You remember this story. Exodus 14. It's been set up by the children of Israel leaving Egypt. Moses is leading them. God is leading Moses. And they are escaping slavery. And it looks like God's got them. And then as you get into chapter 14, what's happened? God has led them into what appears to be, as one person has said, a geographical cul-de-sac. There's no way out unless you go back the way you came in. Now the problem for them is, who's behind them? Following them the way they came in. The Egyptian army, right? Pharaoh and the Egyptian army. This is bad. And you've got mountains they can't pass through. You've got desert. And then you got the Red Sea. And they have hardly been into this new walk with God. And all of a sudden the people are frustrated. This is chaos. Why in the world did we follow Moses here? We'd be better off back in Egypt. So from their perspective, it was pandemonium. It was catastrophe. Now, from God's perspective, is it pandemonium? No. God says, I've got this. Now, there's probably a lot of reasons why God wanted to do it this way. Anywhere from teaching His people to trust Him, all the way to helping Hollywood make a movie in 1997, 98 called The Prince of Egypt. It could be a number of reasons. But He's doing this for His reasons. And of course, you remember what happened when it looked like all was lost, right? Charlton Heston stood up over the Red Sea and it parted, didn't it? And God delivered them. Over and over and over again, you've got God at work, and you've got people scared, and you've got people confused, and from their perspective, it just seems so chaotic, but God's got it. And all they need to do is trust in Him and have faith in Him. As a matter of fact, I think the book of 1 Samuel is all about God's work and God's rest, and there are two chief characters there that illustrate how you can respond to God. One of them is Saul, and the other is David. Saul usually goes about it the wrong way, and you see the consequences from it. Because inevitably, God will say, okay, Saul, I want you to attack, or I want you to march, or I want you to do this. And Saul says, no, I think I want to rest. I think I want Sabbath. And then God said, okay, I want you just to stay put, and when I tell you to move, move. And you know what Saul does? Instead of staying put and resting in God and waiting, he attacks. And they're defeated, and it's just a big mess. And it's been that way throughout the history of the world. So many people don't want to go according to God's rhythm. They want to go according to their rhythm. Anybody here ever seen a teenager? Rumor has it I was one at one time. When I was a teenager, we had everything we needed. Food, shelter, more than that, comfort. You know, some of my friends that grew up on the dairy, their dads bought them Z28s and everything else. And you know what they would do with that? Instead of saying, you know what, I need to gear up for college or I need to gear up for my life to come and this is a tranquil time, so I'll just... No, they would burn down Main Street peeling rubber and wrecking their new cars and just create chaos for themselves and the consequences from it because they couldn't slow down for God. I'm at an age where I still got to be careful. Now, some of you look at me and you say, old man, I consider myself a middle-aged man. But you ever seen a middle-aged man have a great season in his life ahead, supposedly, because he's worked hard and instead he starts unbuttoning his shirt and gets a big medallion and runs away with the secretary and just creates chaos because he can't take this time of Sabbath before the next big thing. Oh, no. On the other hand, how many times have we had a chance to do something for God and participate with Him in something great, and we want to say, no, don't want to. God has worked on the same basis throughout history. Creatively rest, and He calls us to join Him. But it's hard, because what we want to do is listen to that big part of our brain that says, breathe. You don't have to think about it, just breathe. Or sweat. You need to be scared. Why? Well, I just sweat. And instead of letting God rule us and tell us what to do, we just want our bodies to tell us what to do. I just want to be anxious. I just want to worry. I just want to panic. I just want to be afraid. That's what my sweat glands are telling me, so I'm just going to buy into that. No. God gives us a story over and over again of how He works, and we can trust Him with that. And I have seen no bigger example of that than over the past 10 weeks. Again, the world has been in Sabbath. Unbelievable. I really believe God's behind it. I don't know to what purpose or why, but I think God's behind it. I know it is Sabbath because sports has shut down. Never has that happened. On the other hand, it looks like the markers are there that there's going to be some chaos to come. I don't know what He's going to do with that. I know in a catastrophic World War II, a country that seemed impenetrable, Japan, to the gospel. After the war, for some reason, rather than seeking revenge and hating her enemies, the United States, instead embraced that relationship, and through that, God was able to enter in and do remarkable mission work through people in Japan. Maybe something like that's to come. I don't know. But turn over to Psalm 27. I tell you the strategy that I think we can do. Actually, we can do this anytime, but especially in a time like this. Psalm 27, verse 14. This is a psalm about dealing with fear. But you get to Psalm 27 and verse 14. This is one of those verses I've actually committed to memory. So it's a great verse. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. That's what we've been doing, hasn't it? This church has not met together publicly for 10 weeks. You have been waiting on the Lord. And I want you to know God's going to honor that. I really believe that. God is going to honor that. I don't know how much longer we're going to have to wait in other things, and it may be some more time, but God, if we do, God's going to honor that too. So one thing to focus on, let me just give you one thing to think about. This is part of God's story, and we're in it. And then one thing to do, and that's to stand faithfully as you wait for the Lord. Stand faithfully. Got a friend who was preaching this passage one time, and he's talking about those guards in England for the Queen. You know, I'm talking about where the hats, and supposedly you cannot disturb them. They're going to stand faithfully on watch. Even Lucy couldn't get them to budge, and she tried. They're going to stand faithfully. That's what we do. We're sentries for God. We stand faithfully. When He calls us to wait, we do, but we stand at attention. We stand faithfully. My mother went to Europe years ago, and she went to, start saying Mount St. Helens. That's in Washington, isn't it? Actually, I was at Holly Lake the day that thing blew up. What was the Vesuvius? Was that the mountain that blew up over somewhere in Italy or something? And remarkable, because it was, for them, it was like the end of the world. Fire comes raining down, the lava comes in, and it's remarkably too, it was almost like a plaster of Paris. It preserved so much, and you can see where people were and what they were doing when that volcano erupted. And there's one, and she's got a picture of this little book that she bought from there, but of a Roman soldier standing faithfully at the city gate. When the world blew up, he stood faithfully in his task. And that's a great word picture for us. If the world blows up, we will be faithful. We will stand faithfully for the Lord. I have thought about this passage and thought about what I want to say to you in terms of a sentence. And I guess I'd put it like this. In these trying times, weird times, times when you drive down Hawkins and you see these beautiful photos of these seniors, and I've never seen that before until this year, and I think it's great, but what's sad is because they couldn't have the last semester of their senior year and couldn't have graduate. So in weird times, experiencing things that we've never experienced, remember that faithlessness is hopelessness. Faithlessness is hopelessness. In other words, if we lose our faith, we will lose our hope. Faithlessness is hopelessness. On the other hand, faithfulness is hope. Faithfulness is hope. Faithlessness is hopelessness. Faithfulness is hope. What do you think God is calling us to? Let us be faithful. And if that world comes to an end, may He find us standing at attention, faithful. Let's stand and sing.
What can wash away my sin?